Good morning. I've been really excited this week working on this message that I think the Lord wants to give us. And so I'm titling it, as you've noticed, if you got your notes there, Where to Focus on the Seen or the Unseen. And you might, there a scripture verse might come to mind as you look at that. But here in my notes, I'm just saying, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, commonly known as ADHD, seems to typify humankind. We laugh and say, squirrel. We blame the aging process. We attribute it to too many plates in the air at a time. But achieving and maintaining focus is perhaps our greatest deficiency today. We relate to Jesus' dear friend Martha, who was ever burdening herself with just one more responsibility, one more project, one more need. But in the midst of muchness and noise, it is tragically simple to lose one's first love, to get mired in the onslaught of urgent, to live nose to the grindstone, to not remain childlike, and to fail to see the sweeping vista of the kingdom, not of this world. And I think that typifies a lot of our circumstances, whether individually, but certainly globally. We just seem to have a difficulty maintaining focus. And I think it's also true of the church today. So as we move into this next part here, the four points, I kind of want us to picture our life story, the one that we're currently living, our lived life, as some people say. And so as an illustration of what I'd like us to do, I'd like to take a few minutes. And so I've got a basket, and I want us to picture our life with all its elements being collected in a basket. So no two people on this screen have the same life story. We all have very different circumstances that make it up. And so what I want us to do is kind of picture all of the elements of our own life story, and each one just kind of picture them being collected into a basket. So exhibit A. So, you know, let's just think of the things that make up our life. First of all, our age, our gender, one of the two, where we were born, our family of origin, our life experiences, our childhood, people who have influenced our lives, and maybe they're not here anymore, either they're with Jesus or moved away, or we've moved away, our job experiences, those critical relationships that are in our life now, those the people who impact and influence the lives that we're living today, and our financial circumstances, put that in the basket. We aren't going to pass the basket, sorry. But our financial situation, our health conditions, all of these things, and then set them in a basket. Just imagine you're all this collected, and your basket doesn't contain the same thing everybody else's does. We all have our own personalities that flavor everything that has gone into this basket. Okay, so now with that, if you've got a pen, you might want to just write my life story off to the side somewhere and set it aside, and we'll come back to it. Okay, thank you for indulging that. All right. So as we move in, we've got our life story, but now what I want us to picture with that set aside, I want us to look at some scripture verses that talk about the story of all stories. And, you know, you might have heard of many years ago, a movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And so I just want us to look at this passage this morning. Number one, my first point in John chapter 1 is the story of all stories we're caught up in. the story of all stories we're caught up in. And I kind of think of Frodo Baggins in Lord of the Rings, and he asks, I wonder what sort of tale we've fallen into. And I've always loved that phrase, and fallen into or caught up in. I think for us, it's more we're caught up in. So I want to read the first 14 verses of John chapter 1 out of the Passion Translation. But I want us to see that this story is our story. It's not unrelated to us. It's not something, oh yeah, we've heard about that, but I don't know, it doesn't intersect with my life. It doesn't make a difference. This is our story that John is telling. And I'd like it, as I read this, just for us to picture, this isn't a random out there, somebody else's issue. It's our story. And this is what God has caught us up into. So let me read John 1, verses 1 through 14. In the very beginning, the living expression was already there. And the living expression was with God, yet fully God. They were together, face to face, in the very beginning. And through his creative inspiration, this living expression made all things. For nothing has existence apart from him. That's talking about us. We have existence. Life came into being because of him. For his life is light for all humanity. Us again. And this living expression is the light that bursts through gloom. The light that darkness could not diminish. Then suddenly a man appeared who was sent from God, a messenger named John. For he came to be a witness to point the way to the light of life and to help everyone believe. John was not that light, but he came to show who is. For he was merely a messenger to speak the truth about the light. For the light of truth was about to come into the world and shine upon everyone, us included. He entered into the very world he created, yet the world was unaware. He came to the very people he created, to those who should have recognized him, but they did not receive him. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name, to those who took hold of his name were given authority to become the children of God. Maybe we should wait a moment here and let our hearts calm down just a bit. We've been given authority to become the children of God. He was not born by the joining of human parents or from natural means or by a man's desire, but he was born of God. And so the living expression became a man and lived among us. And the original expression there is kind of like pitched his tent among us. And Peterson in the Message says he moved into the neighborhood. I love that. And then continuing on at the end of verse 14, and we gazed upon the splendor of his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, overflowing with tender mercy and truth. Now, I don't know about you, but that gives me goosebumps reading this chapter. These 14 verses, just the prologue of John's gospel, where he outlines this from eternity to eternity story, and that we are caught up into the existence of what he calls, what they call here, the living expression. We're caught up in, and our lives are one joined with him. It is just an amazing, amazing story that God would include us. And so the story of all stories we're caught up in is the story of the God of creation, where they call, whom they're calling here, this living expression. But it gets better. So if we, the second point here in Matthew's gospel, even more incredible, is the second point here is the story of all stories we're let in on. So it's not just, oh, it's out there, and yes, we've been caught up, but we're totally unaware and don't know what's happening. We know what's happening because God has included us in his story. So in Matthew chapter 13, verses, well, I want to focus on 16 and 17, but for context, I want to start reading in verse 10. Matthew 13 from verse 10, still in the Passion. Jesus' disciples approached him and asked, "Why do you always speak to people in these hard to understand parables?" He explained, "You've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom, but they have not. For everyone who listens with an open heart will receive progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable heart, even the understanding that they think they have will be taken from them. That's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth. Yet because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak. The prophecy of Isaiah describes them perfectly. Although they listen carefully to everything I speak, they don't understand a thing I say. They look and pretend to see, but the eyes of their hearts are closed. Their minds are dull and slow to perceive. Their ears are plugged and are hard of hearing. And they have deliberately shut their eyes to the truth. Otherwise, they would open their eyes to see and open their ears to hear and open their minds to understand. Then they would turn to me and let me instantly heal them." As I read through this passage here, this prophecy from Isaiah, it kind of embarrassingly reminds me of me sitting in chemistry class. I listened, but I understood nothing. And I pretended to understand, and I would nod my head sometimes, but it was like my mind was dull and I was slow to perceive, my ears were plugged. But this is a dangerous situation that Jesus is talking about, because here is the living expression of God come to reveal truth. And the people he's come to have actually chosen not to believe. But then Jesus turns back to his disciples after quoting the prophecy from Isaiah, and he says these wonderful things in verses 16 and 17. Looking at his disciples, he says, "But your eyes are privileged, for they see. Delighted are your ears, for they are open to hear all these things. Many prophets and godly people in times past yearned to see these days of miracles that you've been favored to see. They would have given everything to hear the revelation you've been favored to hear. Yet they didn't get as much as a glimpse or even hear a whisper." And so here we are in the company of disciples, caught up into the story, and now we understand that we've been let in on the mysteries that godly people and even prophets longed to understand, but they didn't get it. Can you imagine how frustrating it must have been for the series of prophets? They're giving all these words, but they really don't even know what it means. You know, in our Christmas passage from Isaiah, when he speaks of, you know, a son is born. And Isaiah is giving these words as a prophet. He just opens his mouth and God's words keep spilling out. But he lives the rest of his life and he doesn't really see what that meant. Like, what is that for me? Where is my part in this story? So we didn't really get to see it. And Jesus comes to these lowly disciples whom we often disparage, thinking, man, what a bunch of doofuses these guys are. They never seem to get it. And yet Jesus says, you know, in the Passion Version, "You've been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom. I mean, that just goes beyond belief, doesn't it? We've been caught up not only in a story that we aren't aware of, but the author of the story himself has deliberately pulled back the curtain and shown us what kind of story we've been caught up in. This amazing story of all stories that is ours, that we get to live, and we've been given understanding. And, you know, maybe, you know, some of us are thinking, really? Well, I don't really understand it. It's more of a mystery to me than it is to everyone else. But I think what Jesus is saying is the deposit that's been placed in us is contained within the Holy Spirit, and we'll get there. And so all the revelation, this hidden revelation of all the mysteries past, that revelation is in us. It's been deposited in us. It's been dropped in us. Now, do we all get to the point where we fully understand all of this? No, life is very much a mystery to us still. But it's all in there. And as we ask, and as we lean into the mystery, God opens it up to us. If he opened it up to his disciples and gave them that intimate experience, I believe God wants to do the same for us today in 2020. And the need is so great for us to understand the mystery, because we're being taken over and we're being sidetracked by so much noise and by so many other ideas and other stories that are being thrown at us and perpetrated on us, where everything is spinning out of control. We need to go back and say, what is this story we've been caught up in? What is God calling me into? What is this story that is ongoing? Okay, well, I told you it keeps getting better. Well, it does keep getting better. And so let's move over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And here, not only are we caught up in the story of all stories, not only are we let in on the secrets, we're the in crowd. Is that exciting? Maybe some of us have never been part of the in crowd, and now we get to be in part of the greatest in crowd that ever existed. But in the third point, out of 2 Corinthians 4, as Paul speaks, this is the story of all stories. We are called to live loud. The story of all stories, we're called to live loud. So not just sidelines, not just bit players, not just, oh, well, what's the big deal? We're in on this secret and whatever. No, we are called to participate in this and to live loud this story of all stories. And this just staggers the imagination that we would actually get to live the story out loud, that we would carry around this amazing story, and that we would have the privilege of living this story and being carriers of this amazing story. So sorry, I'm getting really excited here this morning, but well, maybe not so sorry, actually. This is pretty cool stuff. So in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 12, so much more to read, but I'll try to limit myself to these verses. Paul says, even if our gospel message is veiled, it is only veiled to those who are perishing, for their minds have been blinded by the God of this age, leaving them in unbelief. Their blindness keeps them from seeing the dayspring light of the wonderful news of the glory of Jesus Christ, who is the divine image of God. We don't preach ourselves, but rather the Lordship of Jesus Christ. For we are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God said, let brilliant light shine out of darkness, is the same one who has cascaded his light into us, the brilliant dawning light of the glorious knowledge of God as we gaze into the face of Jesus Christ. We are like common clay jars that carry this glorious treasure within, so that the extraordinary overflow of power will be seen as God's, not ours. Though we experience every kind of pressure, we're not crushed. At times we don't know what to do, but quitting is not an option. We are persecuted by others, but it's not forsaken us. We may be knocked down, but not out. We continually share in the death of Jesus in our bodies, so that the resurrection life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. We consider living to mean that we are constantly being handed over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus will be revealed through our humanity. So then, death is at work in us, but it releases life in you. And so in the midst of all the mess, or the big word, all the vicissitudes of life, I love that word, it's so much fun. It just means the ups and downs, the really good stuff and the really horrible stuff. And the setbacks that we live, and the financial and the health setbacks, and the betrayals and the difficulties and the circumstances, but then also the successes and all of the things that we, even as believers, are called to live. And, you know, as we've been reminded this morning, you know, even as believers, we can have hurricanes coming our way if we live on the East Coast, or we can have outpours of rain that cause our basements to flood. And we're not exempt from these things. It's part of the life we live. And yet what Paul is saying is we get to live these things loud before others. We live the setbacks, the difficulties, with this understanding that it's a way of saying, yes, our lives are impacted by all of these things. So it's almost like Jesus' death, the setbacks that he lived as a man amongst us on earth, but it also shows that there is this treasure ongoing in us. So yes, we have difficulties. Yes, we have pain and sorrow, and we mourn not like others, scripture says. We don't mourn like people who have no hope. So yes, we sorrow, yes, we cry, but yes, we celebrate, and yes, we have parties, and yes, we want to dance, even though some of us are old enough to know better than to try dancing because that will hurt us. But this is the life we've been called to live. We're not exempt from the stuff that everybody else deals with. We live the same thing. We have the same life here. Our baskets are all filled with similar types of things. And yet we carry this treasure around in us. We have, as clay pots, we are able by the grace of God to shine with, we allow this treasure, or even if we don't want to let it, it shines out of us and it spills out and people see Jesus in us. Don't we see Jesus in others often? Aren't we just amazed at looking at people and going, wow, look at all their living? And I could embarrass everybody on this screen by talking about the ways I see Jesus in you, because you've lived incredible setbacks, terrible hardships, and you've seen things taken away from you. And you've had hopes and dreams that have yet to have been realized. And sometimes they feel like they're fading away and getting further and further away from reality. And yet you're here this morning and you're still standing. And I love that song that I had in our worship set a couple weeks ago. We still believe. In spite of the difficulties, we're still standing. We're still here because there's a treasure in us that won't let us lay down and die. Because we know that we've been caught up into a story, we've been let in on the secret, and it's an amazing thing that we live. Whew, I don't know who's doing all this stuff this morning, but it's getting warm in this place. All right, my fourth point in Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, and this is, and I love this, and our our doula among us is going to love this point. Number four, the story of all stories in us, embryonic. The story of all stories in us, embryonic. And I just love this passage here in Romans chapter 8. And so I want to start reading here from let's start in verse 7, just 17 through 19. And Paul is writing this letter to the church at Rome, and he says, since we are God's true children, we qualify to share all his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. We will experience being co-glorified with him, provided that we accept his sufferings as our own. And then he says, I am convinced that any suffering we endure is less than nothing compared to the magnitude of glory that is about to be unveiled within us. The entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. Oh, and then I do want to continue down, sorry. For against its will, the universe itself has had to endure the empty futility resulting from the consequences of human sin. But now, with eager expectation, all creation longs for freedom from its slavery to decay and to experience with us, the wonderful freedom coming to God's children. To this day, we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth. And it's not just creation. We who have already experienced the first fruits of the Spirit, hello, that's us, also inwardly groan as we passionately long to experience our full status as God's sons and daughters, including our physical bodies being transformed. For this is the hope of our salvation. Shall we just mount up with wings as eagles now and fly away? I mean, can you believe that God has done this for us and included us in this? So this story of all stories, the greatest story ever told, we're caught up in. And we're let in on its secrets and the mysteries. We're called to live loud in the midst of our humanity with all its faults and failings and its joys and its sorrows. And then this story is, with all of that being true, it is also the story of all stories in us, still embryonic, still more to develop, still more to discover, still more to reveal or to unveil, as they're saying here in the Passion Translation. So here's this great story that is ours. Now, let's come back to our basket. All the things that we've been living, our lived lives, our life story, all of that combined for each of us is absorbed up into, swept up in, included in the story of all stories. So our life story is one tiny bit of the huge story that God is telling in his kingdom. The expansive, the panorama, these sweeping vistas of the kingdom are ours. So yes, do we suffer? Yes, do we groan? Yes, do we have expectation and longing? Yes. But is there more to come? Is there this beautiful story that's still being billowing up inside of us and spilling over? For many of us, as we get close each time to the reality, whether in worship or in prayer or in hearing the message, part of the glory spills out of our tear ducts. And we find ourselves weeping without understanding why. And the older I get, the more it happens. And sometimes it takes me totally by surprise. The Holy Spirit just sneaks up on me and the flood happens. But they're wonderful tears. It's a wonderful way of experiencing the more, the huge dimension of this story that's caught us up. And so if we're going to respond in any kind of meaningful way to the global upheaval that we're experiencing, and the pandemic, as horrible as that part is, and as many lives have been and are being lost, what it's also doing is causing us to get focus, helping us to say, wow, there were a lot of things that would distract me, but now, and maybe we're chafing a little bit at so many things that used to distract us and now don't. For some who always enjoy sports, some of those are coming back and some people are breathing a sigh of relief. But it is really helping us somehow to focus when things get taken away and helping us to see more of this story that is trying to bubble up within us. This Holy Spirit, as I suggested yesterday in my note, if you read that, the Holy Spirit is chomping at the bit to be invited to our party, to be a part of what we're doing, and to have a fuller expression through our lives, through the words we speak, through the things that we speak, through the activities we join in on. He wants to be a part of that, that the kingdom would loom large around us and that people would be aware of this aroma of Christ. And so here's our life story, and it's just absorbed up in, and God has made full provision for all of it. And we still long for the full expression, the full unveiling. And so I just want to finish up this morning with these verses out of Galatians 5, 22 and 23, familiar verses, but just out of the Passion, I stuck them here at the bottom of your page. The fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expression. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. They are kingdom qualities without beginning and without end, and there's no law that could be set against them. And so lots of laws and lots of angry voices today are being set against what we stand for. And we need to understand that that's just a part of our life story. And it helps to squeeze us so that as we are squeezed by these negative circumstances, we might call them, it allows more of the kingdom to be expressed through us. That's the story. Our life story is completely safe and hidden in God through this life expression, this living expression that John talks about. And so whatever we experience is covered by God's renewed compassion for us every day and his longing for us to be his and to shine through us, through all that is still an embryonic form in us. So we're not lacking in any good thing. Obviously, James tells us whatever we need, it's there. We should just ask for what we need. And so those verses, and then of course, as we looked at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the verses that I mentioned in the title, from 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. I forgot to mark it, so I've got to scramble. in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And Paul says, we don't focus our attention on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is only temporary, but the unseen realm is eternal. And that's the story that we're caught up in. That's the story of all stories. It's the unseen. And so we have this glorious privilege of shining, of living loud this life that's been given to us. And so I just want to pray a blessing that we would seize the truth of this and recognize that no matter what we're going through, what circumstances we're currently in or what we're about to come into, or the ones that are unhealed from our past, they are all meant to be caught up in the glorious provision of the story of all stories. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you for these glorious scriptures, these truths that have been shown to us, these truths that are percolating within us and stirring us up. And thank you for your Spirit who is living within us, so eagerly anticipating a fuller participation in our lived lives day by day. Could our spirits almost sizzle with the glory that is there? Could we just almost shake with the power that is within us in the story of all stories that is taking place and moving us forward and giving us perspective and helping us to focus on what is most important? And the story of all stories that pulls our story up and in, that is so much more important than anything else. Not that we ignore the others, but Father, would you grace us to have the story of all stories, your story and ours, as the thing that motivates us, that gets us out of bed every day, that motivates our relationships, that motivates our words, that gives us hope for the future. Because our world is desperate and desperately longing for the full revelation of the sons and daughters of God. And that's us. So reveal yourself in us. Do with us and use us as you will. As our founder of the Vineyard Movement say, I'm just change in God's pocket. He can use me as he will. Father, would you do that with us? Could we recognize that you are at work within us, common clay pots that we may be. May your glory shine. And we'll give you praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Horace.